Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. If there's any state that we as content creators, business owners want to stay in for as long as possible, it is the flow. That period of time where productivity just comes so natural to us, we are really embracing our work, we are really loving every second that comes by, and that is the power of that flow. And combining that, like if you're in the flow and you are getting the results that you want as a result of that flow, so it's a very purposeful kind of flow, that is where a lot of the power in productivity truly lies. So that's why we're going to focus on that topic in this episode. And who better to share some of those insights with us about staying in the flow and getting these great results than today's guest, who is not A, but B, productivity specialist. And she is passionate about helping people improve their productivity so they can reach their maximum potential and accomplish their most important goals. She is a productivity coach, trainer, speaker, writer, and host of the Productivity Straight Talk podcast. Today's guest for episode 226 of the Breakthrough Success podcast is none other than Amber De La Garza. Amber, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you today.
Amber, I'm really looking forward to this, as well as flow is just something that we all just want to stay in, and results, like we want those as well. So two things that we want very much as content creators, as entrepreneurs. So we're going to talk about that a lot in this episode, but I'm wondering if you could give us a backstory to kick things off. So why did you decide to help people with their productivity and become the productivity specialist?
Yeah. So like any good story, it goes way, way back, right? So I'll make it as concise. I was actually, my whole background is in real estate. And for a while, I worked on the corporate side. I was a business coach for a large real estate company here in Las Vegas. And part of that was teaching business models and really how to leverage through growing your team in the real estate industry. And it was through my experiences there, knowing that we were delivering really good information, but my clients kept coming back to me saying very, very similar things. And usually it was some variation of, I'm overwhelmed, I'm out of time, I'm too busy working in my business and not on my business. And I didn't know it at the time, but the seed had been planted that I ended up having this passion for helping entrepreneurs kind of get out of their own way, because these, in that example of that story I shared with you, is like they had coaching and frameworks and models right at their fingertips, but they couldn't take advantage of it because they weren't in their flow, as you put it, right? Like they're not in a good relationship with their time. So I set out to start a company to help entrepreneurs so that they can learn the skill set of managing their time and themselves so that anything is possible in their businesses.
I really like that idea, and I'm not sure if I've ever heard of it like this, but like having a relationship with your time, because we all know like every second matters. We all know like just how valuable time is, but a relationship with time is something completely different, and the way we use it does affect our ability to, like, it affects our results. What we get in life is based on how we're using our time. And with results in general, I know that you have a formula for that. To get results, it's clarity plus focused action. And then we are able to get the results that we're looking for when we have those two components on our side. So with that equation in mind, I'm wondering, how exactly do we go about strengthening our clarity and level of focused action so we get the results we're looking for?
Yeah, so for me, it really begins with clarity, because I think that a lot of us as business owners, we get really, really busy being business owners, or we get really busy, you know, creating things. But if we don't, you know, start with the end goal and get really, really clear about what we want, we will never be clear about what those high value activities are that truly defines productivity. So just to frame this up for your listeners, I think that, and to get us all on the same page, a lot of people have different definitions of what productivity is. And for me, I define productivity as investing your best time into your best activities. And what that does is give you a really solid framework to lay over, you know, filling in what your best activities are. So this could work for your business. It can work for your health goals. It could be work for your relationship goals with your spouse or your children. It's really about getting clear about what those best activities are. And ironically, for me, my best activity is content creation, like I'm sure yourself and many of your listeners. If you were to look at my schedule reflects what I have already defined and had clarity around being the needle that moves my business forward, which is content creation. And it's only through clarity that you can take that massive, consistent action that will actually get results. Because if you're focusing on the wrong thing, you'd be working really hard and you could be in your flow. But if you're in your flow and working hard on the wrong things, then this is all for naught.
And I really agree on that focus on clarity. And like, I feel like it should be something we think about each week, because like right now you may be thinking about clarity. I've heard this so many times, but as we continue to see new opportunities and as we continue to do more things, like certain things change, certain opportunities become available, the right path that we should be taking can change. So it's you create a new landing page, you're excited about that, but you forget about the old one and you realize upon clarity, hey, this is what I should really be focusing on. So it's something that we should continue to be doing, even if we feel like we've got a firm grip on the steering wheel. And we talked about flow a little bit. That was one of the topics we said we were going to get into. But I wanted to talk about the that whole formula you provided on your site, theproductivityspecialist.com, which will be in the show notes. And now that we have, like, let's say we have the clarity, we have the focused action, we know what we need to be doing, how can we stay in the flow more often?
Yes. So this for me is about creating an environment that supports your productivity. And I, you know, there's a lot of ways to do this, but what I'm a huge proponent of is finding the way in which is your best flow. And I'm going to run some examples through and just give you an idea of what I'm talking about here. You know, generally in the productivity or time management space, we often hear things like, you know, you have to do your most important work first thing in the morning. Well, that doesn't necessarily work if you're not a morning person. And so instead of defining what the one path is, because nobody's the same, what I'm a proponent of is you really finding out what is your best time so that you're in your flow. So for me, it's in the morning, but it's not super early in the morning. For me, I need to create an environment that's very clean and clutter-free and bright and inviting and energetic. All of these things help me create being in the flow. For someone else, if I were to clean off their desk completely clear, they'd kind of freeze and not know where to start. So I believe that there are some areas in which you can focus on, but you need to find out what is best for you. Let me ask you, Mark, when you create your content, do you need it to be perfectly quiet, or do you need some like background noise or something like that to get into your flow?
It actually depends on the content I'm creating. Like for Breakthrough Success episodes, it has to be just me. Also for the audio purposes, for writing the content, I sometimes go into like a local bookstore to craft the content. I find that I do better in that environment for writing the content.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you have, you know, experimented with what types of activities take what kind of environment. When I first started my business, I had come from the corporate world where I had an office that was often open to a large area where there was cubicles. And when I started my business and I worked from home, I was, you know, creating content or getting into some deep work, and it was absolutely silent and I could not focus. Like, I literally was self-distracting myself. The cars would drive by, the birds would be outside, and everything broke my concentration. So I spent the first year and a half starting my business in a coffee shop. The hustle and bustle and loud and white noise is where I found I was able to do my most deep work. And so with the definition of investing your best time into your best activities, now that we've got clarity on the best activities, or you should do the homework to get clear on the best activities, you need to identify the best time for you. And this is an example of not just time a day, so not to use it as, you know, as black and white of time, but what is the best environment for you? Do you need noise? Do you need it quiet? Do you need to be, you know, siloed in your office, or do you create content best collaborating with others? Another tip that I have, if we're really looking at, I mean, I'm, you know, the highest, investing my best time into my best activities with regards to content creation, is that I have a content manager, and we sit on a call for 2 hours once a week, and I literally utilize it as a mastermind brainstorming because I'm very verbal. And so I've realized that just sitting in a silo in my office to create content wasn't the best way for me to get in my flow. So I experimented with it and realized I needed someone to bounce ideas off of so that they expanded and they grew more rapidly. And I would say that those 2 hours are some of my most productive use of my time. And so, Mark, do you have any tips that you share with all your listeners maybe frequently, or, you know, you can tell me that's unique to you on how you create flow with creating so much content?
Thank you for getting me involved in this as the host. It's not, I mean, there are very few where I get questions on my own show, but like, I really like the environment thing. That was like something that I started to do. Like, it was a big game changer when I went to the local bookstore for writing content, but I believe there are different environments for different activities. So like, there are some things I just do better at home. There are other things I do better at other places. So my tip would be just to understand which environments help you for which activities, and if you can like leverage that to like basically you're productive, you're doing the right things for more hours. So normally I would just like stop work, like my productivity would drop starting 5 p.m. So I go late in the day to the local bookstore. I don't go in the morning because I'm fine in the morning, but when it comes in the evening, I'm not as productive. So that's a time where I'll go there. And it helps because my family is entrepreneurial. We're all doing work that time. So like, if I had to choose between like working all the time or being with my family, I obviously choose the family over work, but it's just something to think about.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to turn the tables, but I know this is your podcast. You're the expert, and they're coming to you. So I would guess that they were wondering, like, how do you create such consistent content, right? Like, that's what I think that any content creator wants to know, is how do you get in the flow when you don't feel like being in the flow? And how do you get your best work out of you when that is the work that needs to get done? Some other advice that I have about creating content that I do give to my clients as well is being very clear about what the goal is for the time frame that you're creating content. So I time block my content where I'm very purposeful on my calendar, and I don't just say content creation. Before I show up to that block of time dedicated to content creation, I've set what I call some micro goals. So what is going to be the outcome of that session? So what will be finished or created during that time? And that allows me, in my mind, to get really clear with and not distracted with other things that I could put under the umbrella of content creation. And that it's a sprint for me to go from wherever I started on that top of the hour to what I intend to get done at that block of time. And I think that that really helps with getting in the flow, because one of the major reasons why we often can't get in flow is either because of distractions or interruptions. And distractions aren't always external distractions. Sometimes we distract ourselves when we're really not clear about what we are to be focusing on.
And again, that goes back to the formula that we talked about earlier, clarity plus focused action equals results. And obviously you could change your environment. You could do a bunch of different things to boost your productivity, stay in the flow. But another part of productivity actually sounds like something that is not productive, and that is taking breaks. Because there's a point where, I mean, I don't know how many hours, like it's different for each person, but I believe like for virtually everyone, when you hit 60 hours, like to get 1 hour of productivity, you got to work for 2 hours. So there's that idea of that diminishing value for each hour as you're working longer and longer and the time wears on. So I feel like breaks are something very important. I know you agree with me on this, because you talked about like how procrastination can sometimes be good. So I'm wondering if you could share with us the best approach for taking breaks that aren't too long, that don't tap into some of the negative sides of procrastination, what it's more known for. So the best approach for taking the break that isn't too long, but it also gets the job done, like we feel refreshed when we go back to work.
Yes. So great question. I really believe that we can have productive breaks. And so me, I'm personally a workhorse. I can sit down and work for, you know, 90 minutes, 3 hours, and not ever lift my head up. But I do know that that's at an expense, because what happens is I'm not ready for the next session of next 60 minutes. Like I might go for 3 hours, but then I'm done and I feel really exhausted the rest of the day. So I really believe that we need to be breaking up our focused work into some productive breaks, which is changing our state of our mind and our energy. And that could be getting up, moving your body, drinking water, fueling your body with some healthy food, stretching. If you're doing your work on the computer, like step away from the screen and do something different. I think that being very purposeful in that you need something to stop you. So for me, I set an alarm. So if I know I'm doing a 60-minute session, I literally set an alarm to stop and go take a break, because my natural tendency is not to do that. Other people, setting the alarm actually helps them get to that 60-minute mark because they know a break is coming up. So I think breaks are very, very important. And I think breaks can come in a few forms. You've got your little, you know, shorter breaks, like 5 to 10 minutes where you're getting up and moving your body. Others might be that you actually take a lunch break that's not at your desk. And I think that there's a lot of importance to that, so that you can fuel your body and be just as focused in the afternoon as you were in the mornings. And then another form of breaks that I often talk about is really taking a whole day, 2 days off of just stepping away from the business to, you know, refresh yourself, recharge yourself, refocus yourself. And that can be that you're taking regular time off weekly or, you know, vacations. Now, this seems like it's obvious, and it's not anything new that hasn't been said before. But what I want your listeners to hear is that even though it's been said before, it's been said for good reason. And as a business owner and entrepreneur, like we have some grit in us, we have heart in us, and we think that working more is going to get us more results. And I can guarantee you, scientifically backed, that is not true. We think of ourselves as machines. And if we don't take care of ourselves, and we are the machine that's creating content or working with our clients, how do we expect to be at our peak performance if we're not refueling and resting our bodies? So if anyone takes anything away from today's episode, I just think it's, you know, grace and an invitation to take that break so that you can come back and be much more focused than if you were to just push straight through.
And I also like that idea of taking, being a little bit intentional with your breaks. Like, as you mentioned, getting up and like if you eat lunch away from your desk, because if you're in the work environment, your mind still has those triggers. Like, hey, I'm in the work environment. Even though I'm not working, you still feel like you're working. And like another thing about breaks, don't go on your smartphone during that time, because you're I recently read somewhere that your brain is firing off the same types of signals as if you were on your computer working if your break is on the smartphone. So just like getting up, walking around, eating lunch away from your desk, as Amber mentioned earlier, just some of the ways that you could take a more intentional break instead of browsing through your computer or doing something like that during the time that you have off. And like, breaks are just so powerful for productivity. There's something we need to do, even if they're just 5 minutes. But I'm wondering if you could share with us, in addition to like some people, they don't like take breaks. We have this idea that more hours of work, the better, never take breaks or anything like that. But what else do you believe holds most people back from achieving the level of productivity and level of flow that they're going after?
Oh, I can actually pull that down to one word, and it's self-discipline. So, there are so many strategies out there, and I teach them and they work, but they only work if you work them. And one of my biggest, the best strategy that I have is block scheduling, and block scheduling, not just like theme days or ideal weeks, but specifically pulling things off of your project list or your task list that will move the needle forward, and scheduling the time on your calendar to do that. So that's block scheduling. And it works if you work it. But what I have found is that many people will do that and they plan their day with best of intentions, and then they negotiate themselves right out of that. And they're negotiating themselves right out of success. And so it really, really takes exercising the muscle of self-discipline to do it even when you don't want to do it. Mark, I do not wake up every day wanting to create content, but every single morning, 4 days a week on my calendar is a block of 90 minutes to 2 hours of creating content. And that's because I do things that I think your audience probably very similar. But I mean, I have a podcast, I write articles, I'm published in other articles. Like, the list goes on and on. And if I am not creating fresh content and getting these ideas out of my head, my business stagnates. That doesn't mean that I feel like it every day. So I block it out, I create the time, and I protect it. And but then at the end of the day, it takes me showing up and being consistent. So definitely boils down to self-discipline.
Amber, I really like that idea of self-discipline. And I feel like if you're not productive, I mean, I really like how you just said I could break it down to one word. That is the one word that affects how productive we are. And on some days, it's obviously easier. On other days, it's harder. But if you're consistent with the self-discipline, it eventually becomes a habit. And that's what makes the productivity stick. And during those hard moments where it's a little more difficult for the self-discipline to stick.
Yeah.
It's just something we have to embrace, kind of like challenges along the journey. And I'm wondering, with that in mind, if you could share with us one big challenge you faced on your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Oh my gosh. You're going to ask for one challenge. I think we're all on an entrepreneurial journey, right? Like, I'm trying to think of the one that might be the juiciest. I would say the one that I am like working and reworking on right now, and as basic as it sounds, it just keeps coming up for me, is getting super, super clear on who I serve. The clearer I've gotten on who I serve over the years, it has allowed so much more flow in my business. And when we're content creators, or we're a business owner and we have a product or a service that we're providing, when we get clear and clear on who we serve. And when I first started, I talked to anybody that wanted to hear anything about productivity and time management. And when you think about it, anybody could benefit from that, from a school teacher, a stay-at-home mom, college students, entrepreneurs, business owners. Like, it really is a vast topic. But the lesson and the big aha that I had was that as soon as I got clearer and clearer and clearer on who I was speaking to, there was so much flow in my business and less resistance. So I would have to say that was my biggest thing that I fought, and once I embraced, has been the most beneficial.
And it's interesting how some of the like the challenges we face, they shape us into who we are. And some of the challenges we face, some of the problems, they end up bringing the best of us. They end up being something that is very beneficial, like virtual summits that I've organized. Very challenging to organize them, things like that. But once you get them out there, once you get all the speakers, all the attendees, you realize how much of a benefit it was. So sometimes when you have that big challenge in front of you, just know at the end there is a really big benefit. A lot of it does pay off. So that's just one way to view challenges. And it's a great way to just strengthen your mindset when that kind of stuff comes around.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I wasn't someone that really rebounded really quick early on in my entrepreneurship journey. And just learning that, people say like you learn from your mistakes and you hear it and you see it on these little, to me, cheesy quote cards. But at the end of the day, like it, that's really, really true, is like the faster you can rebound from either making mistakes or getting clear, I think is so beneficial on our journey.
And like with those like quotes that you see a lot, I mean, like you have to understand where the person came from, how far that person came to come up with a quote like that, because sometimes we could like take those for granted, or like, as you mentioned, like you can see them as being cheesy sometimes, but they are really useful. But something else that is really useful for our ability to grow and achieve more success is to read as many books as possible. That whole idea of self-education. And Amber, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, so one of my favorites recently over the last couple of years is the Profit First book. So it's just, it teaches entrepreneurs that we're in this to make a profit and that's okay, and changes the mindset around it. So that was very, very influential in my business. Going way back, I'm thinking of one of the first books I read even before I got into entrepreneurship, was The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. Like a lot of what he teaches in there has everything to do with success, right? The little things compounded over time. So I'm trying to think, gosh, I read so many books. I'm trying to think like what would be another top one that has really, really withstood that I recommend a lot. You know which one I recommend a lot and that I read myself is The Miracle Morning too. That one I would definitely recommend to anybody that really wants to create a solid morning routine to set themselves up for success.
Amber, thanks for sharing those great book recommendations on us. And Mike Michalowicz, who wrote Profit First, was actually on the Breakthrough Success podcast. So we'll actually throw a link to that in the show notes. We'll actually be making a second appearance on the show really soon. And The Compound Effect, a book that I recommend on a lot of podcasts as well. So Amber, thank you for those book recommendations. We will include all of those books in the show notes, markerbirdie.com/E226. We will also throw in my book, Content Marketing Secrets, markerbirdie.com/book, for anyone who is interested. And before we wrap up this episode, Amber, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Wow, good question. Okay, this is a question I ask myself all the time. And I always say, is this my highest choice? And I lay that over decisions that need to be made in my life. And when I want to negotiate myself out of what creating content or whatever that looks like, I always ask myself, is this my highest choice? And it reframes it from something being right or wrong to really, really asking the question of what is the best for me in my success journey.
Amber, thank you for sharing with us that great question, for sharing all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Amber, check out theproductivityspecialist.com. That will be in the show notes, along with the resource she wants to share with us today, Top 10 Ways You're Screwing Your Productivity. That is at theproductivityspecialist.com/screw, which again will be in the show notes. But Amber, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been my honor.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter to learn